How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the season finale of Elon's Matchup Maximizer, a podcast presented by Keeping Carlson, where I, Elon Dubrovsky, take a look at next week's NHL schedule and try to come up with the best recommendations for players that we should be targeting for those streams, dropping players at the bottom of our roster to bring in some extra games played. Hopefully that will be productive to help win our matchups. Look, this is it. And for a lot of people, this episode doesn't even matter, because if you're playing in the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, we've already ended the season. The finals end tomorrow, but I know a lot of leagues on Yahoo go that one final matchup, which cover a week and then an extra 4 days. So 11 days total to go for your championship. So I wasn't going to leave you high and dry. I'll be honest, I'm not playing for anything next week, but I figured, okay, let's just take a look and see what's going on and see what I can recommend here. And there's definitely going to be some options for you. And this is the fun part of the season where you can go all out. Any drop doesn't matter, right? Like you don't have to worry about, oh man, I can't believe I dropped this person and now I can't get them back. The season's going to be over. So you just got to go ham, go for the win, which means, you know, there's going to be some teams in this 11-day stretch. You've got some teams playing six times and then some playing down to four times. So if you've got one of those four-time teams, especially with only three light days, you got to take a look. At St. Louis, it might be time to let some people go. Pittsburgh, I don't know. Okay, Minnesota. Minnesota had that great schedule for the last couple of weeks. Now's the time where I think you're pretty much dumping every Minnesota player, especially since they've been oh so disappointing. But yeah, that's the situation we find ourselves in. And let's take a look at which teams have the best schedules over these next 11 days. I'm just going to kind of go alphabetical here for all the teams that play six times. So we're going to start with the Anaheim Ducks, who are going to first start off with a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. And I guess I should give you the actual schedule here. So for these next 11 days, we've got this upcoming week, no super busy days. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday have 20, 20, and 22 teams playing respectively, 18 on Sunday. So it's all like borderline days where, as usual, you're going to have to set your roster and just kind of see where you have room and where you don't. I feel like we could kind of assume you're going to be able to fit most people in this week. Like if the team plays four times, then maybe you could get all four games. Then for that following 3 days, only Detroit is going to play Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, the last day of the season. And again, so Tuesday's somewhat busy, 20 teams playing. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, not terribly light, like 12 teams playing, but you should be able to fit people in. So pretty much, I'm just going to focus here on volume, okay? And then you'll check for yourself. So, you know, the most games played, but you have to make sure that you can actually fit the players on that team playing those six games. We've got like eight or nine teams playing six times. So we'll focus on those teams. Those are going to be the teams that we are targeting. And let's see if we could find any gems here. I guess I don't need to look at Kakupful percent rostered because the Kakupful is over. Congrats to everyone who won. I'm recording this Saturday night at around 8:53 p.m. So I don't know yet who's won the various divisions. But yeah, hopefully you had a good time if you played in the league that we planned. And we're going to be starting the playoff pool, I think, Monday. Brian and I will announce it on the Mega Show tomorrow how to register for our playoff pool, which will be a lot of fun. But okay, let's go to the Anaheim Ducks and see who are we going to be targeting from this squad. If we take a look, like 40% rostered and under, right away, one guy that jumps out is Mason McTavish, who is on a big heater. He had three assists versus San Jose, then another assist today. That game against San Jose, 11 shots on goal. There's been like six, four, three shot games. So if you're getting six games from Mason McTavish, to me, that is super appealing. Anaheim has been rolling a pretty like even roster that gets me really excited for their future when some of these guys like McTavish, you know, develop even more. McTavish has been playing with Zegras and Sam Colangelo. By the way, Zegras also looking pretty good lately. He had a three-game point streak, including a goal and an assist versus that in that game versus San Jose. Then nothing against Calgary, but then today a goal in the 6-2 loss to Vancouver. So Zegras is going strong. So if you can't get McTavish, definitely I'd take a look at Zegras as my next bet. And I'm not just saying these guys, it's like, okay, now these are the guys in Anaheim, then we're going to go through a bunch of other teams, and maybe you don't want any. Like, I'm putting a stamp. I'm interested in Zegras. I'm interested in McTavish if you can get them. Troy Terry is down to 22% rostered, and I guess it makes sense. He was cold for a while. He scored today, though, took three shots against Vancouver. I would also definitely go Troy Terry. If you have your pick of the three, I guess I'll go Terry, McTavish, Zegras. But I think all three make for really appealing streams. And, you know, if you need D, maybe you take a look at Olin Zellweger, who's getting a decent number of minutes lately and is finally starting to produce. He had 4 points in four games before today. Nothing against Vancouver, but six shots. So I love to see that. I love that going into next year. If Zellweger is going to be able to be a high-volume shooter, like, watch out. That could easily add up to being valuable in fantasy. He also has a good number of blocks. He had 5 blocks against Calgary in the 4-1 loss. So Zellweger, if you need D, also interesting. So yeah, a lot of great options over on Anaheim that I would definitely be looking at. Next up, let's go to the Buffalo Sabres. And in Buffalo, you know, you're getting a lot of production from your studs. Alex Tuch, holy heck, what a run he's been on, right? He had 4 straight games with a goal going into today, including 2 goals versus Washington. It's right now end of the second, nothing against Tampa Bay. We'll see how this game turns out. But anyways, I'm just saying that for fun because you're not going to be getting Alex Tuch. Of course, he is highly rostered, but there are still some guys you might be able to get, including the star of the last couple episodes of Keeping Carlson a Mega Show, Ryan McLeod, and he has continued. Like, since we recorded the last show, 3 assists versus Philly, 1 goal against Washington, 1 goal against Ottawa, and now today we'll see what happens in this game against Tampa Bay. Nothing yet. But yeah, Ryan McLeod on a heater, centering that line with Paterka and Quinn. I am all over Ryan McLeod. I'd put him right up there with McTavish and Troy Terry as great streams right now. Like, why not with the run he's been on? Like, I think it would be silly for me not to recommend him. Still only 12% rostered on Yahoo. And you know what? If you can't get Ryan McLeod, go get Jack Quinn, who was the guy that I was really excited about going into the year, really let me down. But he and McLeod, this whole line is doing incredible. I mean, yeah, he had two straight 3-point games against Philly and Washington, an assist versus Ottawa. We'll see what he does today. So yeah, Jack Quinn and Ryan McLeod, both likely available for you, or at least one of them. Easy ads, I think, if you can get them. And then I guess keeping with the pattern like I had against Anaheim, if you want D, here's a fun peripheral name we don't say very often. Connor Clifton had a 6-block game against Washington, also had 2 assists, and then 4 blocks versus Ottawa and picked up an assist. So I don't think those assists are going to keep up, but he also hits a lot. So for just straight up bangers, 6 games, those bangers can add up. I would definitely take a look at Connor Clifton. And he's someone who Brian and I have in our Keeping Carlson Dynasty League, and I'm hoping that he'll be valuable for us when we actually are ready to compete. Yeah, just to get those in a categories league, right? That's where you really, really enjoy someone that's just going to give you reliable hits and blocks, and who knows, maybe a point here and there. Okay, next 6-game team, we're going to the Carolina Hurricanes. I assume at this point it's too late to add Taylor Hall. He's up to 36% rostered. I would definitely still be into Taylor Hall if you can get him. I know he didn't get a point against Detroit, and right now, Carolina's losing 4-0 to Boston. I can't talk. That's okay. But Hall has 3 shots in this game so far, and he also had 3 shots in that last game. Before that, he had a 5-game point streak. Hall has been playing at even strength, not on the most exciting line with Roslovic and Stankoven, but still on that top power play with Aho, Jarvis, Jackson, Blake, which has meant that Svechnikov injured again. So frustrating season for Svechnikov and anyone who drafted him, for sure. But Taylor Hall has been benefiting, and I would definitely take him if you can get him while he's on the top power play. And yeah, the other guy I mentioned, Jackson Blake, I guess take him as well. He scored 2 goals. This was a good call, by the way, from Ryan on last week's Matchup Maximizer. Great job, Ryan, taking over for me. And I think at one point he called Jackson Blake by a different name, but we all knew who he was talking about. And he did deliver. So that was definitely a good call. Yeah, 2 goals against Washington, 1 goal against Detroit. We'll see how he does today against Boston. But again, if you're on the top power play, there's a great opportunity to produce. And Blake is there. So as long as he stays there, that becomes another worthwhile add to get 6 games over this final matchup on the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's just keep this party rolling here. Let's go to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They play 6 times as well. Let's see what's going on in Columbus. Lately, they've got, you know, they got some people back, so it's been fun to see Sean Monahan really just going off, you know, just like he did before his injury. 4 points against Nashville in the 8-4 win, 2 goals, 2 assists, and he scored the next game against Colorado. And today, Columbus currently is losing 2-0 to Toronto. No points yet for Monahan, of course. So we'll see how that game turns out. But who are you going to be able to add is the question, because Monahan is 53% rostered. If you can get him like 100%, don't think twice. Boone Jenner, 47% rostered. I'd imagine in a serious league, you're not going to be able to get him as well with the amazing run he's been on. Man, imagine if Boone Jenner could just have a full healthy season. Yeah, he's incredible. Just, yeah, try to stay healthy, man. So who can we recommend here? So Adam Fantilli, and I know I was a little down on him seeing that Monahan was going to come back just because Fantilli was going to be off the top power play, and we saw how little he contributed before the Monahan injury and, you know, when he wasn't on that line with Marchenko. But look, Fantilli has been good, right? He had 2 goals against Nashville. You know, beside that, he hasn't done too much. Maybe I'm just like overvaluing him based on a game against one of the worst teams in the world. You know, after that, nothing against Colorado. Obviously, nothing so far in this loss to Toronto or losing to Toronto down 2-0. I still think, like, Fantilli is clearly a really talented player. He's playing on a line with Jenner and Van Riemsdyk today. So not, you know, I just said, Jenner is good. I just really like that top power play. So I think if you can't get Monahan, Jenner, Marchenko, or Kent Johnson, then you're like, I think you're taking a step down, even though I like Adam Fantilli. But yeah, I guess that leaves Kent Johnson only 18% rostered. I like him a lot. I like him playing with Monahan at even strength with Marchenko, and I like him playing on the top power play. It's the perfect deployment. He's a talented player. I know he hasn't shot much lately. That would be nice if he can pick that up. He did have stretches where he was like taking 4 shots or 3 shots in a game once in a while. Lately, it's just been 0 or 1 every single game. So hopefully that's something Kent Johnson can work on in the off season to become even more valuable next season. But yeah, for this 6-game stretch, I think Kent Johnson, again, right up there with those guys I was saying, McLeod or one of those Anaheim guys. You'll notice I haven't mentioned Dmitry Voronkov. He's been bumped out of the top 6, at least for today against Toronto. So yeah, it's been, like I said, Monahan, Marchenko, and Johnson, and then Fantilli with Jenner and JVR, who is playing today after not playing for 4 games. I'm not going to recommend JVR. And then yeah, that leaves Voronkov in the bottom 6 with Cole Sillinger and Matthew Olivier. A fun line, I guess, but like not something I would jump on for fantasy. So I think that's pretty much it. If you're not getting top 6 or top power play, then I'm going to pass. So Voronkov, who was so great for so long, I think you're maybe even a snoozer if you're still holding on to Voronkov. Also, remember Yegor Chinnikov? Wasn't he like really good for a bit? Looks like he's been healthy scratch for a while. He came back from injury and did nothing, and he hasn't been in the lineup for a bunch of games in a row. So that'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out over the offseason and who Columbus brings back next year. Oh yeah, there's the Blue Jackets. By the way, I haven't been mentioning any goalies. I'll leave it to the listener. Okay, take a look at the schedule at this point. Maybe I'm copping out here, but like, you know, just find the back-to-back, see which goalies could potentially play more. Like this week, for example, Casey DeSmith got a couple of games. That was seemingly a valuable add. He did take the loss today to Pittsburgh. Wedgwood on Colorado was scheduled for a couple games. So, you know, you might be able to find some value there for goalies. But I'm going to continue down with some skaters on these teams that play 6 times. I've still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to go. Let's take a break. I'll come back and we'll see who else we can find that may be worth an ad for next week. Back in just a sec. This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Okay, welcome back. Next up, the Detroit Red Wings play 6 times over these next 11 days. Who are we going to target on the Detroit Red Wings? And yeah, this is where we get to the point where I'm just saying names because I have to, since I'm talking about the team and I want to throw out someone, but there's really no one of interest to me that's going to be available for you to add. Yesterday against Carolina, Elmer Soderblom was playing on the top line with Raymond and Marco Kasper, or I don't know if you call it the top line, or I guess second line. I guess Larkin, DeBrincat, Kane, that's your top line. You're not going to get any of them. Soderblom is kind of interesting. I would take Marco Kasper over Soderblom, but I just wanted to mention a guy in the top six who did get an assist yesterday in Soderblom. But yeah, I think it's just Marco Kasper again as like a somewhat interesting guy, 10% rostered. He did score a goal in that 5-3 win over Carolina, so that's cool. Playing with Raymond is a good spot to be. I'd prefer top power play. Doubt that's happening ever. So yeah, Marco Kasper, really the only name of interest that you may be able to stream in from the Red Wings. Next up, the Oilers. And of course, with Edmonton, it's all about what's going on with the injuries and when Connor McDavid's going to come back and if Leon Draisaitl's going to play. So, you know, if neither of them are there, then I guess you take a look at like the power play and okay, it's a nice opportunity. Arvidsson and Jeff Skinner in the game against LA yesterday were both there. I will point out, and I know Brian was starting to get annoyed at me for like pumping up Arvidsson over and over again, even though he's been such a letdown. He scored three games in a row. And in the last four games, Arvidsson has shot 4-4, 5-4 times. He wasn't shooting like this pretty much all season. If he can keep that up, that's great. And I wonder if it's like a matter. I know like a couple of those games were with Draisaitl, and now, you know, this 3-0 loss to LA yesterday. So now with Draisaitl, did take four shots, couldn't get anything behind the stud Darcy Kemper. So yeah, Arvidsson, look, if you get him for six games and then, you know, if Draisaitl and McDavid are hurt, then he's getting power play. If they're healthy, then maybe he's playing with one of them. So I think you could do worse. I would take one of those like Anaheim guys I said from the start, or like Ryan McLeod or Jack Quinn. I think I'd take all these people over Arvidsson, but if they're all taken, I think Arvidsson, I like him better than some of the other people I've mentioned. Oh, Kent Johnson. I would take him over Draisaitl after that, though. I'll take Draisaitl like over Marco Kasper, for example, if that kind of puts things into perspective. Jeff Skinner, I should mention, yeah, if he's on the top power play, he had a goal and an assist against San Jose in the 3-2 win. Obviously nothing in the shutout loss to LA. We'll see. The lines yesterday were RNH, Arvidsson, and Podkolzin, and then like pretty much everyone else is like a bottom sixer. When you don't have, I guess, and Hyman was there. Oh, and Trent Frederick came back. I'm going to be honest, people. Like, I've been eliminated from the Cupful, and I'm playing through a finals in a dynasty league. But in dynasty, you know, it's not like ad drops where you really need to pay too much attention. I'm just like watching my team. So yeah, looks like Trent Frederick played his first game for the Oilers in this game against LA. Two shots, two hits. I mean, he was never really much of a fantasy asset in Boston. Like, I know he's someone that Edmonton acquired and they're interested in. I doubt he'll have much impact unless, of course, he gets on a line with a McDavid or Draisaitl if they come back. So maybe like put Frederick on a watch list. I don't know. If you want, no pressure. Did I say it was today also, this Edmonton game against LA, by the way? Okay, so that's the Oilers. I think Draisaitl is the one that you look at as potentially someone to consider for those six games. Then the Islanders play six times. Before those six games next week, there's a big game tomorrow between Washington and the Islanders, where maybe Ovechkin's going to break that record. So I think that's going to be one of the more watched Islanders games of the past few years at 12:30 Eastern time start, Washington against the Islanders. For those of you who want to try to catch this record breaking live, if it happens, Sorokin's a good goalie. We shall see. In the meantime, after that, yeah, still six games in the... you get a Sunday savior, and you can then move forward and get six games in that final matchup. Who are you going to go for? Definitely not Anthony Duclair, who Patrick Waugh hates and insulted, I guess, after having a bad game, and then Duclair needed to take some time off after that. So, yeah, definitely forget about him. I guess, like the thing is, the Islanders are so boring. Like, I guess, yeah, you go for Kyle Palmieri if he's out there, but do you... like? A lot of these other people I've talked about on the podcast I'm more excited about. I think the Islanders are more like a team you look at if you need D. You're filling out your D. You got some good options that are maybe available. Tony D'Angelo has been shooting a lot. Like I was saying about Olin Zellweger, that's like nice to get from a defenseman, in my opinion. He had an assist in the 3-1 win over Minnesota yesterday. Pulak has been producing a bit. He has 3 points in his last four games. Nice source for blocks. Hasn't been shooting that much, but yeah, you get a few hits there. You know, just kind of like filling the categories and you hope to get an assist here or there from a Ryan Pulak. So I think those are kind of the main people you look at on the Islanders, if anyone. I'm definitely over Holmstrom at this point. Like, whatever. Yeah, you go for, I guess, a Leina Palmieri. They're the ones playing on the top line with Bo Horvat, so those would be the guys to go after, and also on the top power play, along with D'Angelo and Dobson. So yeah, it's obviously Palmieri, Lee, and then TDA, and then Pulak, depending on what categories you're looking for. And those are pretty much the interesting New York Islanders. And interesting is in quotes, because they could also just not score too many goals. Next up, the Rangers also play six times in this final matchup. The Rangers have, you know, continued to frustrate this season, trying a lot of different lines in the game against New Jersey today, where they got shut out. So I don't know how much you want to put into this, but Brandon Othman was playing on the top line with Panarin and Trocheck. So that's kind of cool. But who knows if he's going to actually hold this spot. Before that, he hadn't been doing much. So probably you're not going to be too interested in Brandon Othman outside of a dynasty context. And you have Gabe Perreault, who's been playing with JT Miller and Alexis Lafreniere. This is a very high pedigree prospect. But what's Perreault going to do for you? Like this season, probably not much. Playing like 13 and a half minutes, hasn't gotten a point yet. I'm definitely not jumping on a Gabe Perreault. So pretty much all this does is bumps like other people that could have done something, you know, like a Cooley or a Kreider. I don't know. Like, I guess the Zibanejad's playing with Cooley and Brodzinski. They're really like, with these young players in, they're really shuffling these people around and spreading out the offense. Didn't work in this 4-0 loss to New Jersey. So I'd imagine a whole new lineup. And I don't think this is going to be the kind of thing you could depend on for six games. So I'd be adding a player based on talent and not based on deployment. Chris Kreider, for what it's worth, had points in two straight games before this loss to New Jersey. Maybe you could bank on Kreider doing something for you, but that's a strong word even. I wouldn't even say that. If you need D, Keandre Miller was on a three-game point streak before getting shut out today. So maybe Miller is someone you can look at in the same vein as some of these other guys I've talked about, maybe like a Connor Clifton type. You hope to get a point. I don't expect the points to come, but you're getting decent shots here, good blocks, hits. So yeah, Keandre Miller is pretty sweet in a multi-category league, especially like a categories format. Braden Schneider, I should say, another defenseman that fills the hits and blocks and had some points recently. So yeah, maybe this is a good week. I mean, do you go for these D? That's the strategy. Like, you're not getting upside there. Like, you're not going to get a hat trick. Like, if you add like a, you know, Kent Johnson, you might get a hat trick. You might get like a multi-point game. With these defensemen, you're looking for a floor. So it's almost like, I feel like if you're like expecting to win and just need to like, you know, bump, you know, just like give yourself more buffer, maybe then you go for these like solid floor guys. And if you think it's going to be really tight or maybe you're behind, I think you maybe take better, bigger swings. But, you know, Schneider, Keandre Miller, they're going to get you some peripheral points and maybe get you a goal or an assist. But, you know, like maybe in six games, you're hoping for like 2 to 3 points. It's like, I think, a reasonable expectation from a lot of these defensemen. We've got three teams to go here. The San Jose Sharks play six times in this final matchup. On San Jose lately, they've been rolling with Celebrini, Will Smith, and Tyler Toffoli. So just loading up that top line. The one who may be available to you is Will Smith, who hasn't been doing much because no one on San Jose has been doing much. They've lost 4 in a row. They've only scored 7 goals in those 4 games. So not a lot of offense to be had, but I do like Will Smith if he's going to be on this top line with Celebrini and Toffoli, and also on the top power play. It's been a 5-forward top power play lately, along with Eklund and Wenberg. So, but it's San Jose, so maybe you just don't want to put too much stock in it. But I like Will Smith. Like, I think in the future he'll be good, but the Sharks need to, hopefully next year they can start to be like at least somewhat competitive. I'm not sure what they're going to need to do to get there. Like, they have a lot of good names. Maybe it's just a matter of these people all getting better, like Will Smith, William Eklund, Macklin Celebrini. You hope all three of them are going to be better next year. Then, you know, lower end, like a Colin Graf, like he's supposed to be like pretty decent. So, you know, if all these players just get a little bit better, maybe you bring in someone. I feel like it's possible that the Sharks could be interesting enough where like someone who's not like a superstar like Macklin Celebrini could be, you know, interesting to stream. But Will Smith, like, I would definitely wouldn't be surprised if he has a big game. Again, like higher upside than some of these defensemen, but a lower floor because you could just get like a nothing game for sure. I mean, I guess if you're talking about these like low upside defenseman, Mario Ferraro, he actually has 4 assists in his last 3 games somehow. Definitely not what he's known for, but you're usually going to get your blocks and maybe a shot or two, maybe a hit. He doesn't really hit that much, actually, Mario Ferraro, but if you need blocks, there you go. That's the theme of this episode. Like, so here's a defenseman name after I say a bunch of forwards. There's a defenseman named Jack Thompson who played two games. Last two games had an assist versus Anaheim and a goal versus Edmonton. I have no idea if he's going to stick and what his deal is. So I'm just mentioning it, but I'm not recommending him. But maybe some other people know who Jack Thompson is. I think he's come up before. He like came up and then took top power play for a bit. I'm like, oh, and then he like right away got scratched and got sent down again. Maybe one day he'll be really good. Who knows? Someone knows. I don't know. Finally, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the list of teams here that play six times in this final matchup. Who are you going to target on the Lightning? Obviously, you're not going to be able to get any of the big studs, but maybe you can get like an Anthony Cirelli. But now, you know, they switched up the lines again, and it could continue to switch up. Of course, there was a stretch where Cirelli was, what was he with, like Hagel and Kucherov? Or so. It was like some really exciting line. But lately, they've been going back to the classic, right? Like Kucherov, Point, Guentzel, which kind of leaves everyone a little bit out in the cold. Like, I guess Cirelli centering Brandon Hagel is okay. Cirelli's also 42% rostered, so it's not even like he's not even available in a lot of leagues. And if he was, I like a lot of these other people I've said better than Anthony Cirelli, to be honest. Oliver Bjorkstrand continues to play on that top power play. Kucherov, Point, Guentzel, Hedman, and Oliver Bjorkstrand. One of these names doesn't seem to fit in. Sometimes it's Hagel there instead of Oliver Bjorkstrand, which seems better at this point. But Bjorkstrand did get an assist in the last game. Actually, it's today against Buffalo. It's 2-2 now. What did I say the score was before? Oh, actually, it was 2-1, right? Let me actually, just for fun here, because I'm finishing up the show anyways, let's see what's going on in this game. Who's been getting these points? Jason Zucker just scored from Alex Tuck and Dahlin on the power play. I didn't mention Zucker. Yeah, he's on the top power play. He's good. Like, I love that second line right now. They're exciting. But yeah, you can't really go wrong with just anyone on the top power play playing with Dahlin and Tage Thompson, of course. Tage Thompson scored the other goal. And yeah, Bjorkstrand assisted on a goal from Gage Gonsalves. Yanni Gourde had the other assist. Remember, Yanni Gourde is there now? That's cool. Tampa's going to be a fun team. What are the playoff matchups going to be? It's looking like maybe it could be Toronto, Ottawa, then Tampa plays Florida. Ooh, that's tough. That's a tough draw for Tampa and Florida to get each other, if that's how it works out. That's going to be a really good team getting knocked out in the first round for sure. Anyway, as my mom would say when she's done with listening to whatever story I'm telling and wants to go back to talking about something else. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Matchup Maximizer and this season of Matchup Maximizer. Thanks again to Ryan for stepping in last week and also to Jeremy for jumping in a bunch of times throughout the year. I enjoy recording this episode, just giving a big dump of all of my thoughts of the players on teams that have good schedules. Obviously, I'd be up for any feedback over the offseason, anything you want to change. But yeah, I'll be back behind this mic tomorrow for maybe a final mega show of the season. I'm not sure. I mean, what do you call the season and the off season? Like, definitely the last mega show where we're predicting things that are going to happen moving forward and before, like, look backs. I kind of just want to do look backs now. One thought I had was just like, I'd love to just do like an impromptu, like, Schmore goalies board, like, predict who are the goalie tiers for next year if we were picking right now. I'd love to even also look, you know, it'd be a fun concept for a show. Like, look at like the top 20 in scoring in the league. And just go like, do we think next year they're going to be similar or go down or go up? I guess when you're in top 20, it's hard to go up, but some people might. But yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun, but maybe that's something we have to save still for another week. Because like what we're seeing, the people listening to this, you're probably people that still care about us diving in just to next week. And I've given you a lot of names, but there's some other teams that maybe only play five times. But maybe I have such a great player, you're going to want to jump on them. So if you have any, you want to throw ideas around, you could just throw it into our Keeping Carlson Discord. If you're a patron, then I'd love to try to give you advice to help you win your home leagues. And along with all the other awesome patrons that give great advice. But anyways, I will stop my blabbing now. Talk to you tomorrow for the mega show. And yeah, good luck in your finals matchups in whatever league you're still playing in. See you soon. Bye.